this is quite an historic date in the career of one Charles Dillon Casey Stengel. For today marks 50 years since Casey broke into professional baseball. It was on May 10th, 1910, that Stengel played his first game. On that date, Stengel played center field for Kentucky of the Northern Association against Jacksonville. Casey's debut in organized baseball was with a base hit. He had a single, stole a base, but his ball club lost the game 3-2. So Casey has seen a powerful lot of baseball in the last five decades, and quite an anniversary, and quite a record that Mr. Stengel has compiled, not only as a manager of the most successful team in baseball, the New York Yankees, but also a very fine record as a player. 50 years, and so our congratulations to Casey Stengel. Wonder if he can remember all the details of that first ball game. Johnny Temple leading off for the Cleveland Indians as it's play ball time at Yankee Stadium. Billy Short, the young left-hander, into the lineup on the first pitch. Dips in low, ball one. Johnny Temple, right-handed hitter. Played his career, of course, up until his trade to the Indians with the Cincinnati Redlegs. The pitch, fastball is right in for a called strike. 1-1. Temple hits a lot to right field, or at least he did when he was in the National League. The right fielder frequently playing very shallow in right. I noticed that Maris, in right, is playing him about straight away. He used to hit a great deal into short right. The 1-1 pitch, a let-up, swung on, hit fair, past third into the corner in left field. It's a fair ball, and the ball boy almost touched it. And here is Temple roaring into second base with a double. That play was almost compounded by the ball boy thinking the ball had gone foul. He almost tried to make a play on the ball. It went through his leg, and it was not interfered with in any way. But that young fellow is feeling mighty low at the moment, but he was fortunate in that the ball, which he thought had gone foul, he tried to play, and the ball went through his leg. But he never touched it. The ball caromed off the fence out there, and it went as a double anyway. Now, the Indians have a runner on second, and it's time for us now to pick up Red Barber, who will continue the action, as the hitter is Harvey Keene. The first pitch, low inside, ball one. Keene, who came to the Tigers, or came to the Indians from the Tigers, in exchange for Rocky Colavito in the very controversial deal. The pitch to Keene is swung on, a hit foul back up this way. One ball and one strike. Red, I think it's about time we picked you up. We have no score, just the beginning. The first hitter is at second base. Johnny Temple with a double. Red Kress coaching at first base to Cleveland. JoJo White coaching at third. 1-1 pitch here. The curve swung on and fouled back in the Howard mask. And he got it. Elson also on the right shoulder. All right, one ball, two strikes. There was a very familiar fellow pitching batting practice tonight for the Indians. They just brought him up to do that work for him. Ted Wilkes, who used to be quite a relief man with the St. Louis Cardinals. All right, one ball, two strikes. Short look to second pitches, and Keene takes a curve, low inside, ball two, 2-2. Two balls, two strikes. 50 years ago today, out of Kankakee, Illinois, a young ball player played in his first ball game, Casey Stengel. He got a base hit and stole a base. And here, 50 years to the day later, he's over there managing in the Yankee dugout, watching his kid southpaw take on these challenging Cleveland Indians. No score. Change of pace is far on, and left foul back on first base. Karen can't quite come up to it. And it is still 2-2. Munoz gave it a good try. It was a low foul ball. Couldn't quite get back. Half step short. Folks still coming in. The next 2 days with Cleveland at 2 o'clock. bring that bat down by the end. Jimmy Pearsall waiting on deck. The pitch is low inside, a curveball, ball three, 3-2. 3 balls, 2 strikes. Rotation to 4 umpires. Kylak behind the plate. McKinley is at first. Stevens at second. And Hornacek at third. Short in his pitching position with the runner at second. Delivers low, ball four. So a double by Temple is followed by a base on balls to Keene. And here is Jimmy Pearsall, who's playing left field tonight. The first time that he's ever played it at the stadium. Pearsall hitting 306. He just hit his way into the outfield. Jimmy Pearsall made some fantastic catches, primarily the Red Sox against the Yankees. Right hand batter. The infield has to be looking for the bunt. Runners at first and second. Nobody out. No score. And Pearsall bluffs the bunt, takes a low curve. Ball one. Short has walked a half a dozen in each of his 3 previous starts. Howard goes out to mound to talk to him. Austin's out there talking, young left-hander. Cleveland got off to a slow start, but the club has been rolling. Back into right on Pearsall. They're not playing into pull. Temple off second. Keene off first. Pearsall swings a ground ball to short. Kubek over to Richardson. One on the first base into the plate. And Strong comes up with it for a double play. Temple moves over to third base. So they let Pearsall hit. And he hit short curveball to short. And it was Kubek to Richardson to Scourin. You can see that double play was just coming. Now we have Woody Harrell, the shortstop, who's been generating a lot of power for the Indians. He's hitting 302. He has 19 hits. Most hits on the cover by Vic Power, who's the on-deck batter. Harrell has hit the home runs for the club. He's hit 6. He represents the only home run power in this starting batting order. That's an oddity. All right, no score. 2 outs. Harrell, the right-hand batter, over the close fans. Swings to the curve and lines it off Scourin's glove down the right field corner. Temple scores. Held is on his way around first, headed to second base. Maris is up for the ball, and Held comes in standing with a double. That was a wicked line drive. Scourin started over to the line, just did kick it for the end of his glove, but he didn't even slow it down. So, despite the double play, the Indians have scored. And Held bats in his his 14th run. That's the most on the club. And Vic Fowler has batted in 12 and has the most hits of 25 is up. Fowler has always been a tough hitter for the Yankees to get him out. So a double to right for Held. RBI. Fowler in a severe crowd, right-hand hitter. Swings and hits a foul ball out of play back at first base. It's 1-0 in favor of the Indians. Field is back into right on power. The third base coach, Jojo White, keeps reminding Held at second base to get going on anything. 2 outs. Short is ready to pitch. He does. A strike. Breaking ball on the outside corner. That was his change. He took a little off the fastball, and you could see the ball sink. No balls, 2 strikes. Nothing in 2. 2-strike pitch, swung on and bounced back over the mound. Throw to the shortstop. Kubek has to hurry, and he can't make the play, and they get Held over running third. And they throw to McDougal's run hard. They're running back, and Held is out. Kubek came in on the slow bounder that bounced over the pitcher. It's a base hit, a single,
And when Kubek saw he couldn't make the play at first base, he very wisely didn't even attempt to throw. Looked up and held, had gone a step around third base, so it threw to McDougal. And then in the ensuing rundown, he was out. McDougal to catch a Howard, back to McDougal again. So Power, a single to short. And it is one run on three hits, one man left. Held was caught in the rundown, overrunning. The shortstop to the third baseman, to the catcher, to the third baseman. A lot of action in the top of the first inning. A lot of base running, but the double play really was the key to keeping the Indians from having a big inning. Came up with three hits, but scored only one. Three hits and a base on balls. But the old double play ball, plus some headwork on the part of Tony Kubek, kept the Indians from causing more trouble than they did. All right, here's Kubek and Perry. The fastballer's first pitch breaks inside, ball one. Perry is a long, angular boy, standing well over 6 feet tall, who broke in so dramatically against the Yankees last season, striking out the side in a relief appearance. The next pitch is swung on, a full foul into the seat in right field. Tony really came around on that and laced it sharply in among the spectators, well down the right field foul line. Defensively, it's Strickland at third. The shortstop is Woody Held. Johnny Temple is at second. At first is Vic Power. Pearsall is in left, Hardy in center, Keene in right. Romano catching, and Perry's pitch just a little bit high. Ball two and strike one. This is an all young pitching staff for Cleveland. Pitch. Curve swung on, lined in the right field. The base hit for Kubek. He may go for two. He is turning to the left at first. Here is the throw from Keene, and he's in there for a double. So Tony makes it 10 straight games he's hit safely in, puts the tying on Bumpy at second base. And apparently, after a day off, both these ball clubs have come out here swinging. The Indians weren't scheduled for one, but they got it because of weather in Boston yesterday. So Tony now gets his hitting string into the double figures. 1-0 Cleveland. And the batter is McDougal. So McDougal hitting at 259. Gill made that play just now to get the third out, top the first inning possible. By staying put at third base. You know, infielders and outfielders have got to always know where they should be on each play. Of course, if you don't watch them, you don't notice that they're doing it. Kubek leading down on second. There's a curve over for a call strike to McDougal. Nothing in one. Jim Perry pitching. John Romano catching. Vic Power at first base. Johnny Temple. That's the big fellow they got in the winter from Cincinnati is at second. Woody Held is at short. And the third baseman is George Strickland. The strike one pitch to McDougal. As the curve hit foul, almost at the first base coach, Ralph Houck. But he turns away from it. Ball goes on down. Strike two. Jimmy Pearsall is in left field. Carol Hardy is in center. And Harvey Keene is in right. Two strikes. Cassetti coaching at third base. Ralph Houck at first. Right-hander delivers a fastball. It is foul tipped. And it's Nick Charlak, the plate umpire, primarily on his chest protector, outside chest protector. 1-0 Cleveland, and the Yankees have had Kubek lead off five out of eight games with a base hit, and this one is a double, so the tying runs at second base. 3 other games in the American League are tonight. The two-strike pitch, fastball that is foul tipped, and it hits Charlak in the chest protector again. That's successive pitches that he has been hit. You know, that chest protector doesn't exactly absorb at all. I think this last one shook up Nestor. He walked in a small circle there for 2 seconds. Boom, boom. And now Perry motions for Romano to come out. Romano is the catcher that they got from the White Sox. Now, Charlock is going out to break up this meeting between the pitcher and the catcher and saying, let's go, fellas. Big night game. A lot of fine folks are in the stands. Nothing in two. McDougal, square stands. Perry checks the run at second, pitches, and Gill swinging, hits a ball foul down on the right field corner. Still two strikes. Is 6'4", 185 pounds. So when we say a tall right-hander, we do mean it. Perry in position. Kubek's left going off second. The pitch is swung on as a high fly ball out to Pearsall in left field. He's waiting for it, waiting for it. He has it. So, we have one out. But now it's Mickey Mantle, who has hit safe in his last 13. Batting 321. Mantle gets a big hand, steps in against this Cleveland right-hander. Two bat left-handed. Outfield is deep and around toward right. Perry takes a sign from Romano. The pitch, fastball inside, low, ball one. Mickey just straightened above that. Nothing, favor the Indians. The pitch is high and inside, ball two. 2-0. Two balls, no strikes, first base is open. Of course, back of Mantle is Maris, then Scourin, then Bella, then Howard. Now, Maris is the hottest hitter in either big league. Pitch is a curve inside, ball three. 3-0. Three balls, no strikes. Mickey waiting. Gets all set. Pitches outside, ball four. And Mantle now draws his 16th walk. That goes along with 18 hits. Roger Maris hitting at 458. Mantle goes out to talk with Perry. Maris has 10 hits his last 18 official at-bat. That's a clip of 556. He's reached base safely 14 times in his last 21 appearances. That's a clip of 667. So there he is. Now, it's a 1-0 game Cleveland. The Yankees pressing back with men at first and second. One out. First inning. Maris, left-hand hitter. Swings and does not get a high curveball. Strike one.
Maris started out his major league career with Cleveland. He was dealt from Cleveland to Kansas City, and then he was the big man that the Yankees traded for this winter. So far, he's really made that trade stand up. Perry checks the lead runner, Kubek at second, delivers a curve that swung on and missed. Strike two. That was a low inside curve. He started him with a high slider. Didn't break much, but it broke quickly. And then he came back with a big curveball low inside. Now he's gotten two quick strikes. Perry's taking his time. He's holding the ball between both bare hands. Now he slipped on the glove. Holds the ball behind his back as he takes the sign. Comes down out of his stretch. Stops. Checks second. Head bob. Pitches. A fastball high inside. That is ball one. That was up around the bill of the cap. One ball, two strikes. Two back at second. Mattel at first. 1-0 in favor of the Indians. Had a lot happen so far in this first inning. The pitch is swung on, foul back. That was a fastball that seemed to me to be on the inside hand high. Maris had to protect the plate. The Indians had two doubles, a walk, and a single first inning and only got one run. Off the mound. Apparently it's part of his strategy when he gets a couple of strikes on a hitter to let him wait. Some pitchers do that. All right, 1-2. He throws the first, and Mattel is out. That was a set play. Power. In other words, I don't know who gave the sign, but somebody did. Power broke. He was deep, you see, with a runner at second base. Mattel had to come back in on his chest. Slide point with his hand. Boy, I bet you that that Howe jumped a foot when he saw that play start. All right, one ball, two strikes. Merrick waiting, batter's box, left-hand hitter. The 6'4" right-hander. Deliver the curve, swung on a broken bat, a pop fly, and he is automatically out in provision of the infield fly rule. And the hitting part of the bat flew into the stands, I would say a dozen rows back of the Yankee dugout. And right now the spectators are looking to see if the bat struck anyone. And he must have hit Maris right on the fist, as they say, and snapped off that bat because the hitting part went over in the stands back of the Yankee dugout. All the Yankees on the top of the step looking back in. The pop fly went to the shortstop, and for the protection of the runner, the infield fly was invoked, so Maris is automatically out. And apparently nobody was hurt. Spectators sort of waving over there where the bat went. And here is the Mighty Moose scouring up. Two down, and there's a call strike. He buzzed that one over the inside hand high. Scouring hitting at 333. Correction. Scouring hitting at 400. 26 hits, and he's batted in 20. 1-0 Cleveland. Perry pitching very deliberately. Since Kubek opened up on him with a double, you get Tony Still at second, Mattel at first. Scarron swings to the curve. Strike two. No balls, two strikes. The rear of the pitcher's mound, pulling with a rosin bag, looking at the dirt. Rubs up the ball. And that is certainly his pattern. If he gets two strikes on the hitter, he's going to make him wait. All right, now, Jim Perry up on the mound. Another head bob check at second. Pitcher to curve. That is foul back. Nothing in two. The lights are on for the first night game of the season at the stadium. This is the start of a big series. Big for both ball clubs. Single games for the next two afternoons, Wednesday and Thursday. Delivers and stands right out on a fastball up by his hand. He's landing. He simply overpowered him. And he got out of the jam, threw back open with a double, and never got off second base. No run, one hit. Well, friends, in the first inning, we have had an aggregate of four hits, three of them doubles, two bases on balls, and yet out of it has only emerged one run, which Cleveland possesses. So the score at the end of the first inning is Cleveland 1 and New York nothing, and let's pause for station identification.
You are tuned to 1460 on the radio dial. This is WOKO, Albany, New York. The time is 15 seconds on the WOKO clock, 8:30. Temperature is 58 degrees.
The other ball games for you. Young Bill Short gets ready to pitch the second inning of his fourth major league start. Chicago has started at Boston, Wynn versus Cassell. And the White Sox didn't score that first lick. Kansas City of Baltimore, Hall against Wilhelm. And at the end of an inning and a half, it is 1-0 in favor of the Athletics. And at the end of the first inning, Detroit at Washington, Mosley versus Clevinger, it is no score. Detroit has lost its last 10. Philadelphia, San Francisco, Pittsburgh, and Los Angeles. I doubt it will have much on that for you. Cincinnati, Chicago, postponed. Wet ground, and this is the fifth straight postponement at Wrigley Field, Chicago. They just lost the whole series with the Milwaukee Braves. That's rough. Now we have John Romano, right-hand hitting catcher of much promise that the White Sox gave up in the Manoto deal. Takes a call strike from short. The left-hander delivers a change of pace, which is running right back to short, and he holds it in the glove. A line drive that, if he hadn't caught it in the glove, would have hit him at the point of his right shoulder. He has stuck the glove up there, and there she was. He fights you. Now we have George Strickland, the veteran infielder who returned after a year's absence from baseball last year and went to third. He used to be the shortstop at Cleveland in his younger days. In fact, when Cleveland last had a pennant winner and played in the World Series against the Giants, he was the shortstop. Takes the pitch inside, ball one. Strickland hits a high pop fly. Second baseman Richardson is under it. He's got it. And who do you think was over there hollering for him to take it? The pitch is short. And sure, he's directing things out there in the middle of that diamond. All right, two up, two down, a line drive and a pop fly. 1-0 Cleveland, and the hitter is a young outfielder and center fielder tonight, Carol Hardy. He has 1-6. Strickland would have had 1-6. Our pitch is the curveball over for a call strike, and when it looks as though Hardy might have had a bunt notion. Short was off that mound like a rabbit starting for the third baseline. It's nothing in one. Hardy, right-hand batter, swings and grounds it foul. Strike two. Hit it an outside breaking ball. Ball is retrieved, but childlike for inspection, passive inspection, and continues as the ball in play. And nothing in two. Short deals outside. Ball one. One and two. myself, Tommy Holmes, in the Herald Tribune this morning had a very fine story about this young pitcher and about the Yankee pitching staff, his present status. 1-2 pitch, change of pace, swung on and hit foul down in the left field stand. Down in the corner. 1-2. He spent most of last year at Seattle, but part of it with Cleveland. This is the fellow who's a big football star, remember, Colorado. 1-2 pitch, swung on at a high foul, out of play, back of the Yankee dugout. Count holds, 1-2, two outs. Bases are clear. Pitch is swung on, a ground ball hit to Scarron, who's up with it, and Hardy is out. He was swinging late, grounded to the first baseman, so there's nothing across. And the score at the end of an inning and a half remains Cleveland 1 and New York nothing. Right? And Yogi's hitting at 333. Left hand batter. Outfield around toward right. Takes their pitch low inside, ball one. I'm watching where Johnny Temple is playing. He's pretty well over toward first baseman at the edge of the grass. We were interviewing him before the ball game down in the dugout, and he's a very pleasant and intelligent spoken young man. Pitch high outside, ball two, and he volunteered the information that it was real tough to come over into another league where you didn't know the pitches, how to hit at them, how big their curves are, how hard they threw the ball, and also that you just did not know where to play the different hitters. But he's working at it, he says. Terry is ready to pitch the barrel, 2-0 does, and it's over, fastball for a call strike. 1-1. First to the last of the second inning. 1-0 Cleveland, the Yankees at bat. Barrett swings and has a high foul that is close to the stands and back behind the Vista dugout. Well, we told you that the White Sox did not score their first lick up at Boston. Well, the Red Sox have not been retired in the last of the first inning, but Vic Wirtz hit a grand slam home run. Is having his troubles getting going this year. All right, 2-2 to Yogi. Perry deals a curve that's come out of a high fly ball to deep right center field, but there's a center fielder Hardy under it, and he has it. Barrett is up. One up, one away. Second. But he's batted in 15. Right hand hitter, over the close stand. Feet pretty well spread out. Takes the fastball too low. Ball one. One down, nobody on. Anyhow. Make no mistake, this Cleveland club has some fine young arms. And they took the gamble when they traded Mike Leishman in the water that the young fellows could do it. Fastball is in there. Strike two. One and two. One ball, two strikes. With a fastball low inside to the knees. Two and two. One out, nobody on, last the second. Terry works. Curveball is a half swinging back to the mound. The pitcher has it stepping toward third, recovers close to first to Powell, who one-handed as he does everything. Howard is out. Now we have two gone and Bobby Richardson stepping in. Tyler's hitting at 217, but he's moving up. He's had five hits in his last 13 official trips. Outfield shades him a step into left. Deals, the curve swung on, there's a line drive foul into the seats behind first base. Folks over there have been kept looking. They've had a couple of line drive fouls and half of a bat. Okay, nothing in one. Delivers, snaps it right over. Ball strike two. He's very tall, 6'4". He's quite lean, and he is very loose. And when he starts into his full pitching motion and pumping, when there's nobody on, you can tell that he means it. Pitches a curve outside. Ball one. One and two. Terry taking his time with two strikes on the batter. Two outs. Fields the curve that is fouled back. And two. Pitch here, the curve swung on, far back again. Still one and two. Pitches, the fastball swung on, hit out to left center field. Chris Wallace is going back, and makes the catch. Boy, he can go get him. And he made a very fine running catch or nothing. So we have an afternoon game. Cincinnati and Chicago is postponed due to rain. Jim Perry leads off as we go to the top of the third inning. Short's first pitch to Perry is swung on and lofted it into right center field. Mantle moving over and has plenty of time to make the catch. Reached across the plate, got under the ball, popped it up into comparatively shallow right center field. One out, and that brings the top of the order up again. Johnny Temple, who opened the game with a double and came around to score the one run the Indians were able to get in the first inning, despite the fact that they got three hits, a base on balls. A double play, however, nullified the chance for a big inning, and then a cutoff play at third base in which a man was trapped finally retired the side. The call strike to Temple.
Well, off to a fine start for Cleveland. He has 19 hits for 73 at-bats. Hit safely in 10 straight now.
right-hand batter. Swings and fouls the ball the upper stairs back to first base. Johnny knows that he is small as players go. He doesn't try to hit the ball out of the park. There's not a park this size. He's a sharp hitter. Fine fielder, quite a competitor. And the word down the Cleveland dugout is that he's become the boss man of that infield. Unofficial captain. The two-strike pitch. Swung on, grounded down, too short. Kubek from the hole, throws him out by two steps. So we have two down. As the Yankees' young left-hander, Bill Short, continues working. He doesn't act like a rookie out there. Here's Harvey Keene, who's a hard fellow to fool and a tough man to pitch to, and got a base on balls in the first inning. Keene is hitting 300 on the nose right now. He was last year's batting champion. Pitches inside, breaking ball, ball one. One ball, no strikes. Keene standing way back in the box, his right hand hitter, as far back as he can go. Pitch outside, ball two. He hit 353 last year. And on the Sunday before the season opened, he and Calavito were traded even up. That news was a detonation in both towns. Curve is in there for a called strike. Two and one. Two balls, one strike. Missed some games early in the year for Cleveland with a bad leg. Expect to change of pace outside, ball three. We were asking him before the game began how the leg was, and he says considerably better. So I gather by that that he's not completely well. So he's playing. All right, 3-1. The pitch is high outside, ball four, and Keene draws his second walk. On the two walks given up by Short. And this gets Jimmy Pearsall at the plate. Pearsall came into the game hitting at 306. In the first inning, with Keene at first and Temple at second, he cracked into a double play. Engineered by Kubak and pivoted on by Richardson and finished by Scala. That was the 16th Yankee double play. 1-0 Cleveland. Curve low inside, and it is ball one. They're giving Pearsall the gap in left center. They're not playing into pull very much. Mantle is quite a ways over into right center field. Harris is a step back toward the line. Pitch is swung on as a ground ball to Kubak, who's up with it, goes the short way to second to Richardson to get the force on Keene. Two. No runs. No hits, one left. And the score, end of 2.5 innings tonight. First night game of the season at the stadium. The Indians won and the Yankees nothing.
How do you feel about the man who lubricates your car? In a completely unrehearsed interview, one driver expressed his feeling.
Third inning. Short swings as he throws from the left side. Perry's big windup in his first pitch, inside, ball one. Pitch taken right in there for a called strike. 1-1. Fastball fouled off. Sorry, pitches in a rather leisurely looking fashion. Deals, and it is strike three. Give him a quick little curve. Put him out. Second strikeout. One down. Now here is Kubak, who doubled in the first inning, but never got off second base. They are
setting the outfield a step toward right on Tony. Now they're moving it back. They're moving Hardy back over into left center field and giving Kubek the gap in right center. First pitch, right down in there for a strike. He's throwing outside of his curveballs. He's throwing everything pretty hard. He's had a good strikeout record since he's been a professional pitcher. There's a fastball swung on and hit high toward right center. Hardy going back is under it. He has it. Now we have two down. 1-0 Cleveland. Googled. 0-for-1. Hit a fly ball to left field in the first inning. Moves in and Mantle steps in the on-deck hitter's circle. Outfield shading Gill into left. Pitch is a low curve, too low, ball one. No strikes. Right-handed deals a curve over. That was on the target. 1-1. Swung on and hit out of the right field. Keane backing up and has it for the third out. Third is nothing across and totaled at the end of three for Cleveland. 1-3 all for New York, 0-1-0. And before Rizzuto comes along, let's pause for station identification.
You are tuned to 1460 on the radio dial. This is WOKO, Albany, New York. On the WOKO clock, it's now 4 1/2 minutes before the hour of 9. Temperature is 58 degrees.
Okay, Phil. A moment ago, I saw that Short had to pull his back foot out of the way from a curveball, almost hit him. What's this tale you tell about swinging at a pitch that did hit you?
Yes, that's true, Red. I did swing at a pitch one time, and it hit me, and I thought I'd be allowed to take my base. But the umpire told me that I was wrong. Once you swing, no matter what happens to the ball, it's a strike.
Do you remember who threw the curve?
No, I don't know. Let me see.
Want me to help you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Bobby Shantz?
Oh, man, and he's got... Oh, now I remember. Oh, that's when little Bobby was in his heyday, boy. He was the MVP in the American League pitching for the Philadelphia Athletics. And he still got a good curveball, but he had a dandy then. And we've got a dandy of a ball game going on right now between the Indians and the Yankees, with Cleveland leading 1-0 here in the top of the fourth. And coming up to bat, the man who drove in the only run of the ball game, Woody Hale, with a double to right field, driving in Johnny Temple. Billy Short out on the mound. A left-hander ready. Kicks, delivers. A curve, a tie, ball one. Woody's off to a good start. 20 base hits and 64 times at bat. That was his first double of the year. He has a triple and 6 homers. 14 runs batted in. The pitch is inside and low, ball two. 2-0. On deck, Vic Parr. Here's the windup by Short. Curve hit deep to right field, but curving foul. And Woody Hale has plenty of power to all fields. Leading the Indians in homers and RBI. Two balls, one strike on the power hitting shortstop. Slow curve is on the outside corner. Called strike two. 2-2 the count. Nestor Shylock calling balls and strikes. Short goes to the rosin bag. Yogi Berra deep in left field. Mantle's not too deep in center. And Maris deep in right. pitch is hit on the ground to the right side. Scarron backhands the ball. Nice play. Flips to short. In time to get held. A fine play by Bill Scarron takes the base hit away from Woody Held. And the cheering that went up just moments before Held hit that ball. Today marks Casey Stengel's 50th year in baseball. Casey broke in a pro ball. May 10th, 1910. Wow, he played center field for Kankakee of the Northern Association against Jacksonville. Casey had a single, stole a base, but his team lost 3-2. Matter of fact, Stengel batted fourth that day. Ball one outside to Vic Power. Power beat out an infield single. And on a heads-up play by Tony Kubek, he faked throwing the first base. Woody Held rounded third, and they hung Held up between home and third. He was thrown out. The 1-0 pitch, slow curve, is in there for a call strike, 1-1. And Vic Power has got a puzzled look on his face. He was walking up on that pitch and just couldn't wait. And the ball floated right by him about belt high. Power just swings the bat back and forth, real low, then crouches. Here's the 1-1 delivery. Another slow curve popped in the air in short left field. Yogi coming in fast and makes the catch. Yogi got a good jump on that Texas leaguer. Hit right off the end of the bat by Vic Power and caught it on the dead run. Kubek didn't have a chance for it. Two away. And it brings up Johnny Romano, the catcher, who almost tore Billy Short's right arm off with a vicious line drive back through the box. Short stuck his glove up in self-protection and the ball landed right in the pocket. Didn't know he had it. Was hit so hard. Two out, nobody on. Cleveland 1, Yankees nothing. Top of the fourth. On deck, George Strickland. Here's the first pitch to Romano. Fastball inside, ball one. This is the fourth major league start for Billy Short. And, of course, his first against the Indians. First time they've faced Cleveland this year. Curve hit in the ground to third. McDougal on one hop. Goes to Scarron, and that's all for Cleveland.
The Yankees have been restricted to one hit over the first three innings. Mantle and Merritt and Muscarin. The power part of the Yankee order. The first pitch, Mantle picks a pitch outside, ball one. The Indians pick their run up in the first inning. Three hits and a base on balls with a double play sandwiched in between. The next pitch, a pie, ball two. Mantle has not seen a strike tonight. He walked on four pitches his first time up. Mantle 2-0. They pitch, curveball, he gets it over. Strike, 2-1. All right, here's the 2-1 pitch. Mantle takes inside, ball three, 3-1.
About a year ago, almost to this day, that Jim Perry came in from the bullpen, pitched a tremendous relief appearance against the Yankees, and that started him on his great freshman year. But then we remember him as a hard throwing right hand, and now he's mixing up his speed. The pitch is hit high in the air to straightaway center field. Carroll Hardy, the center fielder, moving under it and making the catch. Ball was hit so high that Mantle was all the way down at second before Hardy caught the ball. That's how high he hit it. But that's the wrong part of the park to hit it in, and Mickey knows it. Perry has got the Yankee hitters hitting the ball in the air. The only ground ball they have hit was a slow hopper back to the mound. Elston Howard hit that in the second inning. The rest have been fly balls and two strikeouts. Here's Roger Maris. He takes a curve low, ball one. Roger fouled out to the shortstop in the first inning. He ended up with just the handle of his bat in his hand, and the barrel of his bat went over the Yankee dugout and hit a fan, but not hard, just grazed him. in the last row of box seats. There's a foul off Maris's leg. And that one hurts. Roger is not rubbing, but I know it hurts. He hit it right down off his right leg. One and one on Maris. Maris came into the game leading the majors in hitting with a .458 average. One pitch, inside, ball two, two and one. Perry is trying to crowd Maris with that fastball and curveball. On deck is Bill Scarron. Here's the 2-1 pitch. It's a little bit low for ball three, three and one. One out, nobody on. Cleveland leads 1-0. We're in the bottom of the fourth inning. Here's the 3-1 delivery. It's fouled back on the screen, and it sticks in the screen. About three rungs from the top, it sticks right up in there. Count on Maris. Ready for the playoff pitch. Here it is. It's fouled back and in the mezzanine. Fans are having a lot of fun tonight with these foul balls, and there have been plenty of them. Nice crowd here, but it would have been a lot bigger had the weather been nicer during the day. A lot of people shied away because of the forecast. The curve inside, ball four, he lost them. And that's the second walk given up by Jim Perry. Perry had retired 9 men in a row since Mantle walked in the first inning up till the walk to Maris right now. Here's Bill Scarron, who struck out in the first inning. Mitt Powell holding first base against Roger Maris. On deck, Yogi Berra. One out, infield and double play depth. Strickland guarding the left third base foul line. Pitch to the Mooses. Strike one, a swing and a miss at a fastball. And Perry really blazed that one in. Garin steps back out of the box. Now Moose back in, ready to go. Frank Crosetti coaching at third and Ralph Houck down at first for the Yankees. Sets, checks Maris, throw to first, Roger back. Rick Powell, who is really a fancy fielding first baseman, he can do magic with that first base glove. Again the stretch. Pitch is strike two, a swing and a miss, and that was a bad high fastball. Moose again steps back out of the box. Played on by Nestor Shylock. That's off home play. Now Scarron's back in. Seems a little puzzled by the fact that Perry's throwing the fastball by him. Nothing in two on Scarron. One away. Perry sets again. The pitch. Curve hit on the ground to third and foul. Backhanded by George Strickland. As Perry tried to sidearm Scarron with a curveball, but the Moose was ready. Cleveland 1, Yankees nothing in the bottom of the fourth. Here's a stretch. Quick throw to first. Maris back in plenty of time. Hits the Scarron. A high pop to the infield. Vic Power is coming in. The first baseman in foul territory makes the catch. Vic came almost all the way into home plate to make that catch. And Romano, realizing how good power is with the glove, let him have it. Here's Yogi Berra. Yogi fly deep to center in the second inning. Two out. And you can see that Perry is pretty fast tonight. As we told you before, only one ground ball has been hit by the Yankee batters. All the rest have been up in the air. Two out. Maris leading off first base. A fastball on the inside part of the plate. On deck, Elston Howard, swinging a couple of bats around. Here's the stretch by Perry. Pitch to Yogi is popped in the air to the infield. Big power. No, now George Strickland, the third baseman, calling for it near the mound and makes the catch, and he almost dropped it. Perry was yelling for power to take it, but it was on the third base side of the pitcher's box. And another pop-up by the Yankee batters. Perry blazing that fastball in, making them pop it up for the Yankees in the bottom of the fourth. No runs, no hits, no Cleveland errors. One man left in the score at the end of four full innings. Cleveland one and the Yankees nothing. George Strickland, who popped to Richardson in the second inning, the batter. Billy Short out on the mound. The left-hander's first pitch is a curve inside, ball one. Cleveland got all three of their hits off Short in the first inning. Two doubles and a single to score their one run. Yankees have one base hit, got a double by the leadoff hitter Kubek. Pitch is a strike call on the outside corner. Carol Hardy on deck. Here's the 1-1 delivery. Slow curve is in there. Strike two call. You know, from here or from the stands, that changeup curve looks easy to hit. But when you're up there at the plate, expecting a fastball or a fast-breaking curve, the bat seems like it's stuck on your shoulder. You just can't break it away. The pitch, outside, ball two, 2-2. Nobody out, nobody on here in the top of the fifth. Cleveland leads 1-0. The 2-2 delivery is lined inside first base. It's going down the corner for extra bases. Strickland starts for second and then comes back. As Roger Maris really fielded that ball quickly. It was deep in the right field corner, inside Skarin and first base. And yet Maris got over there in time to hold Strickland to a long single. Hit number four for the Cleveland Indians. Strickland at first. And Gil McDougall coming over to talk with Billy Short. The batter is Carol Hardy, who bounced to Skarin in the second inning. Out. Moose holding first base against Strickland. Here's a stretch. Pitch. Inside, ball one. Gil McDougall playing in at third. Carol Hardy, the right hand hitting center fielder. Takes a curve over for a call. Strike, 1-1. JoJo White coaching at third base and Red Kress over at first for the Indians. Johnny Temple is on deck, but Jim Perry is due to be the next batter. And Perry's not a bad hitting pitcher. Short sets. Slow curve hit down to McDougal on one hop. Gill goes to Richardson for one. Back to first. Double play. And that's as deep a double play as you'll ever see as McDougal fielded that ball just in fair territory. When he threw it, he was in foul territory. The long throw to Richardson, who's quick relay to first, Nip Hardy, who can go down the line. That's the second double play of the ball game for New York. And here's Jim Perry. Perry fly to center field in the third inning. That was the 17th double play of the year for the Yankees. Perry takes a pitch low outside, ball one. Perry holds that bat right down on the end. Curve low, ball two, 2-0. Two balls, no strikes, two out. Nobody on. Top of the fifth. Cleveland won, the Yankees nothing. First meeting of the year for these two teams. They met in spring training, but I mean regular season play. There's a fastball just above the knees for a called strike. Fastball line to left field. There's a base hit. Yogi fields the ball on two hops and Perry's on with a line single to left. That's the fifth hit off short. And it brings up Johnny Temple, who opened the ball game with a double just inside third base. Came around to score on Hill's double down the right field line. Temple got away to a slow start with Cleveland, but now he's picking up. Over 250. He was under 200 for quite a while. Mike Perry puts his jacket on down at first base. Scarron playing in back of the bag. There are two men out. The pitch to Temple is a curve swung at and fouled back, strike one. Deck Harvey Keene. Nothing in one, the count on Temple. Pitch. Low, ball one, 1-1. Vito Francona, one of the leading hitters on the Indians with a 317 average, not in the lineup tonight. I know the Yankees are quite happy about that. Last year, he ruined them in many a ball game with some long base hits and timely singles. 1-1 the count. Slow curve hit. Foul just outside of third. And the ball boy's up with that one. On Temple's first double, the ball boy tried to field the ball. It went right through his legs. Had he touched the ball, it would have been an automatic double. And the umpire at third base, Jim Honachick, told the youngster, don't get too excited or overexcited when a ball's in play. Never go after it. And, of course, you can't blame the kid down there. Who wouldn't be excited being the ball boy at a big league ball game? One ball, two strikes, two outs. Jim Perry down at first base. Here's a stretch by Billy Short. Fastball low inside, ball two, 2-2. Cleveland leads 1-0 here in the top of the fifth. Billy Short goes to the rosin bag, and Elston Howard calls time and goes out to the mound. Yankees have Barron left, Mantlin center, and Marison right. And here comes Casey Stengel out of the Yankee dugout. There could be something bothering Billy Short. Yeah. He hurt his arm. The umpire, Nestor Shallock, signaled and pointed to his left arm to tell the Cleveland bench that there was something wrong with Short's pitching arm. And in the event the Yankees have to bring in a pitcher, he will be allowed as much time as needed to warm up. Ordinarily, when a relief pitcher comes in, he's allowed just 8 pitches. And so Casey is walking out to the mound a little more now, and it looks like he's going to call for somebody out of the bullpen. So Jim Perry takes advantage of the break here and is walking slowly towards the Cleveland Indian dugout, as is Johnny Temple, who is the batter with a 2-2 count on him. It's two out. Cleveland leads 1-0. And that would really be a tough break to the Yankee pitching corps, with Whitey Ford having a sore elbow and Bob Turley, who has been out for quite some time. And it looks like Bullet Bob might be coming out to the mound. Just talking about Turley, who has been out quite some time from the last time he pitched. So Billy Short suddenly comes up with a little something wrong with his pitching arm. Let's hope it's nothing serious. Bob Turley, who has made just one appearance, he started at Boston on April the 20th. He was a losing pitcher. He pitched just 2 innings. Gave up 4 hits and 3 walks and 5 runs. So Turley, making his second appearance of the year. It's been almost 3 weeks since Bob Turley last pitched in the ball game, and here comes Billy Short off the mound, and he gets a wonderful hand from the crowd here. He has pitched real good ball in every game that he's been in for the Yankees. He's won 2 and lost 1. And in the ball game that he lost, it was a heartbreaker down in Baltimore. He lost that one 2-1, and Short drove in the only run of the game for the Yankees that night. We can take another look at the scoreboard while we've got the time. At the end of 2.5, the Red Sox are still leading the White Sox 4-0. Early Wynn was having a rough time of it this year, looking for his first win of the year. Is in there for the White Sox, and Vic Wirtz hit a bases-loaded homer off early in the first inning. Jerry Casale, who is yet to lose this year, is on the mound for the Red Sox. Kansas City is leading Baltimore 10-0 at the end of 5.5 innings. Hall for Kansas City. Wilhelm started. Fisher in the fifth for Baltimore. Dick Williams homered in the fifth with the bases loaded, so that's 2 bases loaded homers already this night. And Detroit at Washington, 0-0 at the end of 4.5. Marcy against Clevenger. Tigers trying to break their losing streak. They've lost 10 in a row up till tonight. The National League, Philadelphia, San Francisco, and Pittsburgh at Los Angeles start later on. Cincinnati and Chicago postponed, and that's the 5th straight postponed game for the Cubs at home. St. Louis and Milwaukee not scheduled. For some of you who are interested, the count is 2-2, 2 balls and 2 strikes. And it says in the rule book that if, when pitches are changed and the count is 2-2, charge that batter and his action to the relief pitcher. In other words, should Turley walk this man, he would be charged with the walk. Or if he should strike him out, Turley will get the strikeout. Now, that also goes if the count is 1 ball, 2 strikes, 1 ball, 1 strike, 1 ball, no strikes. Or no ball, 2 strikes, or no ball and 1 strike. So this batter is Bob Turley, regardless of the count. It's 2-2. Jim Perry comes out of the Cleveland dugout, back to first base. And Johnny Temple steps out and comes into the batter's box, double-checking the count with the plate umpire, Nestor Shallock. Nestor holds up 2 fingers on each hand. 2-2 the count. Yogi Berra in left field has been talking to some of the fans. That's Yogi's favorite pastime. it's good to see Charlie back on the mound. Perry leading off first. Two men out. 1-0. Cleveland leads here in the top of the fifth. A stretch by Charlie. The pitch is low. Gets away from Howard, but it hits Nestor Shylock's foot and stays right in McAvely. A break for the Yankees. In that Perry would easily have gone down to second base had the ball not hit Shylock's right foot. Full count now on Johnny Temple. And, of course, with the pitch being two out, Perry will be gone. Count on Johnny Temple. Here's a stretch by Charlie. Perry leading away. There he goes. The pitch is low outside. Ball four. And that walk is charged up against Bob Charlie. Perry down to second. Temple to first. And here's Harvey Keene, who has walked twice tonight. Has not been up officially. So Keene remains at a .300 batting average the way he entered the game. 15 for 50. Three doubles and three runs batted in. A stretch by Charlie. The pitch to Keene is a strike call, a fastball right down the middle. On deck is Jimmy Pearsall. Perry at second, Temple at first. Mantle shading Keene over in right center field. Maris not too deep in right. Yogi straight away in left. Pitch. Fastball hit on the ground. Kubek to his left. Bobbles the ball. No chance for play. That'll be an error charged to Tony Kubek. Kubek got in front of the ball and was ready to flip it to Bobby Richardson when the ball kicked off his glove between his legs. All hands are safe. The bases are loaded. And here's Jimmy Pearsall, who has been up twice and bounced to the shortstop both times. Two out. That was the first error in the ball game. On deck, Woody Hill. Charlie will now go to his regular windup. The pitch to Pearsall is popped in the air to short left field. Yogi Berra is coming in, signaling for it, and makes the catch. And it's a funny thing, whenever a ball's hit the left field, everybody stands up to see if Yogi's going to catch it. But he did, and for the Indians in the top of the fifth, no runs. On one base hit, one Yankee error, two hits rather. One Yankee error and three men left on base. Bottom of the fifth inning, Elston Howard, Bobby Richardson, and Bob Charlie will be coming up to face Jim Perry. Perry is being allowed a few extra warm-up tosses because of the delay. Now he's ready. The Indians fire the ball around the infield, and Elston Howard will hit back to the box in the second inning the batter. Ellie is the only Yankee who has hit the ball on the ground in this ball game. One nothing. The Indians leading the Yankees here in the bottom of the fifth. First pitch to Howard. High inside, ball one, and Ellie hits the dirt. The curve swung on this strike one, 1-1. 1-1 delivery. Hit in the air to short center field. Carroll Hardy coming in. Under it and makes the catch. Another fly ball. Bobby Richardson fly to left field in the second inning. The leadoff hitter for the Yankees doubled. That was Tony Kubek, and Jim Perry has stifled the Yankees' big bat since then. Here's the pitch to Richardson. Check swing outside ball one. The ball popped in the infield. Woody Hale, the shortstop, is moving under it and makes the catch. Two away. And here's Bob Shirley. Two out, nobody on. Cleveland 1, Yankees nothing. Bottom of the fifth. Pitch to Shirley is a curve over for a call strike. Fastball high inside, ball one, 1-1. Pitch is a curve over for a called strike two. Here's the windup. Sidearm curve swung in and missed strike three. And that's the third strikeout for Perry as the Yankees go down 1-2-3, nothing across in the bottom of the fifth. And the score at the end of five full innings for Cleveland, one run, five hits, no errors. And for the Yankees, no runs, one hit, and one error. Leading off for Cleveland in the top of the sixth, Woody Hale, who doubled the right to drive in the only run of the ball game. And he drove in Johnny Temple. That was in the first inning. And in the fourth inning, he bounced out to Bill Scarra. Shirley's first pitch is a ground ball. Kubek to his right, up with it, the long throw. In time for the out. That was a nice play by Kubek, who went deep to his right, came up with a short hop to throw Woody Hale out, one away. Here's Vic Fowler, who beat out an infield single and then fly to left field. Fowler leads the Indians in batting. Came into the game batting 338. Temple, who doubles the lead off the ball game, increased his consecutive game hitting streak to 10 in a row. First pitch to Vic Powers popped in the air right in front of the plate. Rider out near the pitcher's box. McDougal under it and makes the catch right on the mound. When the ball went up, it looked like it was going to be right in front of home plate, but it carried. So that's two pitches and two outs. Up Johnny Romano, who lined back to the box in the second inning and bounced to third in the fourth. Two out, nobody on. First pitch to Romano is a strike call. Shirley has thrown three pitches this inning. Got two men out, and the first one a call strike on Romano. Baseball popped in the air, and Starr is chasing it, but it looks like it's going back into the stands out of play. Yes, it is. And a fan put his coat up, and it hit in the coat, but it didn't stay in. It looked like it went right through the sleeve. One fan in back of third base tried to catch it with his hat a little while ago. Smart if they don't try and catch him with their bare hands. Easy way to get a broken finger. Nothing in two on Romano. Two out and nobody on. Cleveland one, Yankees nothing. Top of the sixth inning. Into the windup. Curve is a little bit high. Ball one. One ball, two strikes. One ball, two strike pitch is strike three. Swinging after a high fastball. And Curley really fired that high, Oddman. Which is a good sign for Cleveland in the top of the sixth. No runs, no hits, no Yankee errors, nobody left. The score at the end of five and a half innings, the Yankees won, rather Cleveland won, and the Yankees nothing. Say, did you ever see a great baseball player who didn't practice? Of course not. But it takes two things, talent and practice, to make a good ball player. You know, it takes two things to make a great beer. Now, lightness is fine. But lightness alone won't do it. To really refresh, a beer must have lightness plus flavor. And that's your cue to ask the man for the crisp refresher, Ballantine Beer. You see, Ballantine proves to more people every day that a beer can be light and still give you all the lager beer flavor you want. The fact is, Ballantine is a light beer with true lager flavor. And this delicious light lager flavor is what makes Ballantine beer the crisp refresher. So, if you drink beer for taste and refreshment, then Mr. Ballantine's the beer for you. Try it. See for yourself why Ballantine is the most popular beer from Maine to Florida, the largest selling beer in the East. Treat yourself to the crisp refresher right now. The report on Billy Short is that he felt a slight strain throughout the game in his elbow. It didn't get any better while he was pitching, so he decided to stop pitching. And right now, it's not thought to be too serious. But Billy felt that there was something not quite right, even though he was pitching a good ball game, and he was wise enough to call a halt. All right, Tony Kubek hits a ground ball to second base. Johnny Temple up with it on the first pitch. Over to Vic Powell, one away. Kubek is the only man to have a base hit against Perry so far tonight. One out. Here's Gil McDougal. Fly to left and fly to right. And that's only the second ball hit on the ground off Perry in the ballgame. On deck, Mickey Mantle. Takes time to go back to the rosin bag. Harry having a little trouble reading Romano's signs. Now he's got it. 1-1 pitch, curve low outside, ball two, 2-1. A 2-1 delivery. Strike two. A swing and a miss at a high curve ball. Gil walks all around the plate. That's his usual stroll. Two balls, two strikes, one out, nobody on. Cleveland one, Yankees nothing. Bottom of the sixth. Pitch is hit on the ground. Wide of third. Backhanded nicely by Strickland, but the foul sign given by third base umpire Jim Hunnicek. 2 on Gill. Pitch. Strike 3. He checked his swing, but the ball had part of the plate. He pulled the string on McDougal for his 4th strikeout of the ball game. And here's Mickey Mantle. Mickey has walked and fly to center field. A strike call. Mickey had walked out of the box, didn't ask for time. And remember, you must ask the umpire for time. Mickey just walked out of the box, and Perry went right on through with the pitch. It was a curve over the plate, and plate umpire Nestor Shylock said strike 1, and Mickey was standing outside the batter's box watching it. Here's the windup. Pitch inside, ball 1, 1 or more. Something you very seldom see. The batter step out of the box and pitch a pitch and get the ball over. Perry shakes off one time. Now he's got the one. 1-1 pitch is popped in the air to left field. Jimmy Pearsall moving in under the ball. And makes the catch for the 3rd out. So for New York in the bottom of the 6th, no runs, no hits, no Indian errors, nobody left, and the score at the end of 6 full innings. Cleveland 1 and the Yankees nothing. And Perry has retired 8 men in a row. He had retired 9 men in a row before he walked Roger Maris in the 4th inning. And since he walked Maris, he's retired 8 men in a row. So he is really pitching a tremendous game for the Cleveland Indians. Another look at the scoreboard in the American League at the end of 3 innings now. The Red Sox scored another run. They lead 5-0. Win against Cassell. But now in the 4th inning, Roy Seavers homered and Al Smith homered with a man on, so it's a 5-3 ball game. And Sullivan has come on to relieve Cassell. The White Sox are still batting in the top of the 4th with the Red Sox leading 5-3. Vic Wirsch homered in the 1st with 3 on for the Red Sox. Kansas City leads Baltimore 10-0 at the end of 7.5. Hall against Fisher. Wilhelm was knocked out. Dick Williams homered in the 5th with the bases loaded for Kansas City. Detroit at Washington, they're in a pitcher's battle. Marcy against Clevenger. It's 0-0 at the end of 6. And in the National League, Philadelphia, San Francisco, Pittsburgh at Los Angeles start later on. Cincinnati, Chicago postponed. That's the 5th straight postponed game for the Cubs at home. And St. Louis and Milwaukee not scheduled. And we're ready to go here in the top of the 7th inning. And ready to go is Mel Allen.
Hello there, everybody. It's the 1st of the 7th. 1-0 in favor of the Indians. It's the bottom 3rd of the Cleveland order in the 7th. George Strickland leading off. Hardy and Perry to follow. Turley in relief of short to the windup and the pitch in there for strike. Strickland popped to 2nd and singled to right. Curve is outside for a ball. They got a sign up there, short suffered in the right, as in the left elbow. One ball, one strike on Strickland. And the pitch, high and inside, 2-1. And the Indians scored in the 1st inning. For those of you who may have tuned in late, Johnny Temple opened the game with a double. And with 2 out, Woody Held doubled him home. Kubek opened in the last of the 1st with a double. That's been the only hit off Jim Perry. Shirley's 2-1 pitch swung on to high fly ball into left center. Mantle moves under it. Makes the catch and is one away. Now Carroll Hardy, grounded to 1st and grounded to 3rd. grounded to third into a double play. Jim Perry to follow. The Yankees overall as a team had been really hitting the ball. This is really the first game this year that they have been subdued. The pitch swung on and popped up to short. Kubek under it. Hardy running it out. Catch made by Kubek for the second out. And Jim Perry will get a hand when he comes out of the dugout. Casale beat the Yankees with one run up in Boston, but nobody has pitched as well against them as Perry has tonight. Here's a hand for him. He's a switch hitter. Against the left-hander Billy Short, he flied to right and singled to left. Now he's batting left-handed against Turley. Takes a good cut up there. Turley's pitch fastball is low, ball one. Next delivery, fastball is inside, round the letters, ball two, 2-0. A 2-0 count on Perry. And the pitch, inside for ball three. 3-0 account on the slender pitcher. Johnny Temple to follow. Bob Turley comes in with a pitch and it's over for a strike. 3-1 the count. Perry takes a look at JoJo White down at third. See whether Joe Gordon's got him swinging or has the fake sign on. The 3-1 pitch. Swung on, hit by the mound. Richardson out back a second up with it. Throws to first in time. That Perry really moved down the line. Sides retired. No runs, no hits, no errors, no one left on. The end of 6.5 innings. Cleveland 1, New York nothing. Inning. Roger Maris hitting fourth in the order. Leads off with Scarron on deck and Berra to follow. Jim Perry, who pitched his best game in the first night game of the year at Yankee Stadium last year in relief, has retired 18 out of the last 20 men he's faced. Gave up a hit to Kubek to lead off the game. He's walked two men since. They pitch to Roger Maris. Swung on, hit foul. Foul ball, a line drive down the right field line into the stand. Strike one. Perry has has retired eight in a row. And 18 out of the last 20. Here's the pitch. High for a ball. Maris started to bunt. One count. 1-0 Cleveland, last of the seven. The right-hander to the windup. In comes the pitch. Right in there. Strike two. 1-2. He just laid that one in there. I think Rogers looking for that. A 1-2 count. Took a little bit off his fastball. He's got a real fast one. He's into the windup. Here's the pitch. Swung on. A ground ball hits the second. Up with it is Temple. Throws on to Big Power. And Maris is retired. Nine in a row and 19 out of 21. Here's the Moose. Struck out and fouled out the catcher. Only three ground balls have been hit. Hit back to the box in the second inning, and Kubek grounded to Temple in the sixth, and Maris the same here in the seventh. A pitch to the Moose. Swung on line. Great leaping stab by the shortstop, Woody Hill, for the out. Woody Hill went off the ground to spear that one to rob Bill Scarron. Two down, and here's Yogi Berra, who flied to right center and popped to third. Woody Held, exciting the crowd with a tremendous play on Scarron's liner. Two away in the seventh. 1-0 Indians. Very into the windup. The pitch to Yogi. Outside, ball one. And Howard on deck. Cleveland here tomorrow and Thursday afternoons. Game time, 2 o'clock. Next pitch is swung on. Ground ball hits Temple. He's up with it. Throws to Power and the side's retired. In order. No runs, no hits, no errors, no one left on. 11 men in a row and 20 out of 22. Fans here tonight are really watching one of the best pitching performances seen in many a moon. Kubek opened the game with a double. Mantle walked in the same inning. Maris in the fourth, and that's the extent of the Yankee offensive effort. How about trying some of that Ballantine beer right now? The light beer with true lager flavor. A crisp refresher. The largest selling beer in the East from Maine to Florida. The White Sox creeping up on Boston. It's 5-3 now, end of four innings. Kansas City 10, Baltimore nothing, playing the ninth, last half of it. Tigers, Senators scoreless, end of 6.5. Tigers trying to break a 10-game losing streak. Nothing to report in the National League. Phils, Giants, Pirates, Dodgers start later. Cincinnati, Chicago rained out. Cut straight postponed game for the Cubs. St. Louis, Milwaukee not scheduled. Now to the eighth inning.
You are tuned to 1460 on the radio dial. It's WOKO, Albany, New York. The time in 5 seconds, 10 o'clock.
Temple doubled to left in the first and scored on Woody Held's two-out double. Temple grounded to short in the third and walked in the fifth. Bob Turley's pitch on its way. Fastball swung on, bounced to short. Kubek to his right, up with it. Throws on to Scarron in time. One away. Harvey Keene walked twice and safe on an error by Kubek. unless there are things to happen, this ball game could have been over in the first inning. Now the pitch. High, ball one. Shirley delivers, fastball in there for a strike. The Indians have only gotten four men on base since the first inning. Two hits, a walk, and an error. Billy Short had to retire in the fifth inning with Temple up, straining his left elbow. Pitch is inside. 2-1 to Harvey Keene. Two balls, one strike. Ball is in there. Strike two. 2-2. This is the best Bob has looked at any time since spring training started. Of course, he only worked once since the season began up in Boston. Knocked out after two innings. The 2-2 pitch to Harvey Keene. Fastball is grounded out to second. Richardson up with it. Throws on to Scarron, and Keene is out. Two up and two away. Now Jimmy Pearsall grounded to short into a double play, grounded to short into a force out, and flying to left. Woody held to follow. 1-0 Indians, eighth inning. Shirley's fastball is over. Strike one. The one strike pitch. Curve is low outside into the dirt. Ball one. One and one. Shirley has retired nine men in succession. One delivery, fastball outside, perhaps a little high. 2-1. One pitch, Pearsall swings and lifts the foul, coming back out of play in the upper deck. Two balls, two strikes. Up and the 2-2 pitch. Sidearm fastball. Ball three. A little outside. The paid attendance tonight is 25,651. Overall total here, including servicemen admitted free, of 26,771. Full count on Jimmy Pearsall. And the payoff pitch is swung on, drilled to deep center. There goes Mantle racing back, still going, and he grabs it in deep center for the out. No runs, no hits, no errors, no one left on. And at the end of 7.5 innings, Cleveland 1, New York nothing. Friends, your friendly neighborhood tavern is a perfect place for meeting old friends and winning new ones. And that's a 300-year-old fact. For over 300 years, your neighborhood tavern has been known as a place of good fellowship. In honor of this great American institution, this month of May has been declared National Tavern Month. Make it a point to stop in at your neighborhood tavern during National Tavern Month. And while you're there, make it a point to ask the man for Ballantine's, the crisp refresher. Ballantine beer proves to more people every day that a beer can be truly light and still give you all the honest-to-goodness lager beer flavor you want. That's what makes Ballantine the largest-selling beer in the East. So stop in at your neighborhood tavern during National Tavern Month and ask the man for the crisp refresher, Ballantine beer. We pause for station identification.
You are tuned to 1460. This is WOKO, Albany, New York.
Elston Howard, hitting seventh in the order, leads off. He hits the box and flies to center. Richardson on deck, and Curley scheduled to follow. Jim Perry. Perry the magnificent tonight. Into the windup, and the pitch is in there. Strike one. He has used his fastball to good advantage, but not terribly often. He has mixed it in with his curves and sliders and changes up, but he may go to the fastball a lot now. Curve is low outside for a ball. One ball, one strike. Pitch. Swung on. There's a drive to deep left. Look out. That ball is going. It is down. Tie ball game. Picked out a fastball and timed it and sent it on a arcing line into the left field seat for the first hit off Perry, since Kubek led off in the first inning. And it's 1-1. Howard's fourth homer of the year. Richardson flies to left and pops it short. He swings and fouls it off upstairs. Strike one. 400-foot poke by Howard. So it's 1-1. Strickland shortened up with Richardson at bat, protect against the bunt possibility. Now Perry to the windup delivers, and it's high and inside, and Bobby did have a bunt in motion. He started to bunt and had to really get out of there to get avoid being hit. One ball, one strike. One pitch. Swung on line. A great stop by Strickland. He leaps and grabbed the ball of a line drive hit by Bobby Richardson. George Strickland reached as high as he could go to grab that one, just as Woody Held did off the bat of Scarron in the seventh inning. Bob Curley is due to bat, and I believe he'll be coming out. Here he comes. Play by George Strickland to take the base hit away from Richardson, and that would have been a double at least, because Strickland was playing close to the line. The play was all the better because, remember, he was playing in anticipation of a possible bunt. The delivery to Turley, swung on and missed, strike one, curved him. Kubek on deck. Pitch Swung on and missed. Strike two. Another curve. No balls, two strikes. And the delivery. Swung on and fouled off to the right of the plate, out of play, in the lower stands. The Indians in the ninth inning will have Held and Tower and Romano due up. Here's the pitch, and it's inside for a ball. A 1-2 count on Shirley, one away, one run in the eighth, 1-1 the score. Perry's pitch swung on and fouled off to the right of the plate. Two strikes. In comes the next pitch, and it's inside for ball two. 2-2. Here's the 2-2 delivery. Swung on, lined into left, and Pearsall, and it's over his head! And there goes Shirley, heading for two. And he'll hold up with two bases. Jimmy Pearsall misjudged it. The ball was hit hard. He started in and then had to go back, and it sailed by him for a double. Jimmy Pearsall, who is generally a real top-flight outfielder, didn't pick it up. The ball was a liner, and Jimmy started in on it, and then when he started to go back, it was a little late. For most players, that would have been a triple. So Turley now is on second. The batter is Kubek, who doubled to right, fly to right center, and grounded to second. Romano goes out to talk to Perry. One away in the eighth. Turley on second, Kubek at bat. Perry getting a sign from Romano. End of the stretch. And the pitch. Ball one outside. About a half speed pitch. From second, not too big a lead, and the pitch. Swung on, line drive, base hit to left center, but Turley will not score, I don't believe. Here's the throw, he's held at third, and into second goes Kubek. Kubek singles to left and takes second on the throw to the plate. Turley didn't have much of a lead, as we were telling you, and hard liner to left center, Pearsall went over, got the ball, and fired high to the plate, enabling Kubek to go to second. Out of the dugout now comes Joe Gordon. The flash goes out to talk to Jim Perry, and we'll see whether or not he makes a change. with Romano and Perry. And the signal goes out for the relief pitcher, a left-hander. Shirley comes on into the dugout to rest a while. Dick Stigman. Who is it? No. Dick Stigman, I think. Dick Stigman, who was with San Diego last year, worked in 45 games. 6'3", 200-pounder. From a town called Nimrod in Minnesota. This is his fifth appearance. He's won one and lost one. Relieved twice and started twice. Beat Kansas City 3-1 in a start May 1st and lost to Baltimore in his last start 9-2. Jim Perry will soon depart and fans will give him a nice hand. He pitched tremendous ball up to this inning. Howard's home run sort of shook him a little. And the misjudgment of Charlie's liner got him into further trouble. Respond with a warm round of applause for Jim Perry, who put on quite a show tonight. In 7 1/3 innings of pitching, he allowed 4 hits, 3 in this inning. Walked 2, struck out 4. So far, just been charged with 1 run. Got into a little trouble after Howard's solid homer. 400-foot-plus drive in the left field seats to open the eighth for the second hit and the first since the first inning. Richardson was robbed of at least a double on a tremendous play by Strickland. And then Turley's liner, apparently misjudged by Pearsall, went for a double. And Bob didn't take too much of a lead off second and on the base hit, but followed by Kubek into the gap in left center. He only got as far as third, but Pearsall racing into the gap and making a fine throw to the plate on which Kubek raced to second. Dick Stigman, a left-hander. This is a case of where a manager doesn't play it by the book, and a lot of managers don't go by the book exactly or all the time. But Stigman is a fellow who's got good curve, good slider, and keeps the ball low. And that's what they're trying to do, get somebody here now and make them hit on the ground. McDougal flying to left and right and took a third strike. Turley on third. Kubek on second, one out. Infield in for play at the plate. The windup by the left-hander and the pitch. It's in there for a strike. The pitch just outside for a ball, 1-1. Stigman gives you a lot of motion out there. And big fella, 6'3, 200 pounds, 24 years old. Infield in. Charlie leads off third, Kubek off second, one out. The left hander to the windup and the pitch. McDougal swings and misses. Sinker ball, 1-2. and two the count on McDougal. Runners on second and third. Relief pitcher Dick Stigman swings to the windup. Around comes the left arm. The pitch swung on and missed. Strike three. Stigman strikes out McDougal. Two away now. And the batter is Mantle, who walked, fly to center, and fly to left. Into the windup. Here's the pitch to Mantle. Swung on and missed. Strike one. Well, he's got a tremendous sinker. Throws the ball up there and it just sinks. Very much like Jerry Staley on Sunday. Infield back at normal depth. One strike. Stigman to the windup and the pitch. It's low and inside for a ball blocked by Romano. Almost a wild pitch. One and one. We heard a lot about Stigman in spring training. Indians trained in Arizona. It's the first time we've seen him work. Gives you a big motion. Throw some wicked breaking stuff out there. Shirley on third and Kubek on second with two outs. One all, last of the eighth. Now the pitch. It's outside, ball two, 2-1. Romano looks over into the Cleveland dugout. Gives his sign to Dick Stigman, a left-hander in relief of Perry. End of the windup. Here's the pitch, and Mantle takes ball three. Low and outside. 3-1. Three balls, one strike. Shirley on third, Kubek on second. Two outs in the eighth inning of a 1-1 ball game. Now the 3-1 pitch. Swung on and fouled back. Strike two. Full count. Count on Mantle. Stigman wants a new ball to throw. Up and the payoff pitch, and Mantle takes high ball four. That ball is way up high. There's Roger Maris walking up for the bases loaded. Two outs. He pops to short, walked, and grounded to second. Hitting streak on the line tonight, and he has failed to hit. He's walked twice. Two outs, and Roger Maris up. Left-hand hitter. Stigman into the windup, and the pitch to Maris. High and inside, ball one. One Yankees, one eighth inning. Shirley, Kubek, and Mantle aboard, two out. Stigman ready, the left hander of the windup. Men lead away. The pitch swung on, hit, foul down the first baseline. Strike one, one and one. ball, one strike. Two men down and three on, score tied, one all. Dick Stigman swings to the windup. Around comes the left arm. The pitch swung on, foul back upstairs. Strike two, one and two. It's been an odd inning at that. Elston Howard opened the inning with a homer to tie the score, and since then, the Yankees have been trying to go ahead. They got Perry out. And the base is loaded and two outs, and one ball and two strikes, the count on Roger Maris. Here's the windup, the pitch, and Maris strikes just outside, 2-2. There's a wicked curveball he laid off of. Two balls, two strikes. Relief pitcher Dick Stigman leans forward, goes to the windup. Around comes the left arm. The pitch is high and inside. Ball three as Maris hits the dirt. Full count. Now there'll be three men running with the pitch. You got to get it over. Turley on third. Kubek on second. Mantle on first. Two outs. Three and two on Maris. Dick Stigman out on the mound. Getting the sign. He's ready. There go three runners. Here's the payoff pitch, and it is swung on and popped up. Here's Vic Power getting under it, and the side's retired. And the left-hander stayed with him. One run for New York, three hits, no Cleveland errors, and three Yankees left on. And at the end of eight innings of play, it's a 1-1 ball game. Bob Gerley's pitch to Whitty. In there, strike one. Vic Power on deck and Romano to follow. So we got another fingernail biter as we had on Sunday for a while. Turley took over for short in the fifth inning, two outs. His curveball is fouled down the third baseline, strike two. Short strained the elbow in his pitch on in his pitching arm and had to retire. No balls, two strikes. Woody Held, cleanup man, right-hand hitter. Turley's pitch, fastball high, one and two. One ball, two strikes. Turley ready, and the pitch. Sidearm fastball high, ball two, 2-2. Two strikes. Here's the 2-2 pitch. Swung on and popped up in the air. Howard back near the screen. He's getting under it, and he's got it. Held fouls out to Howard. Now Vic Power. He singled in the first inning, flied to left in the fourth, and popped out to third in the sixth. The Tigers finally broke their losing streak. They won it 1-0. They pitch to Vic Power. Swung on, a bounder, hit out to second. Richardson up with it, throws to Scowen, two away. Now Johnny Romano. He lined back to the pitcher, grounded to third, struck out. First of the ninth inning, a 1-1 ball game. Delivery, fastball, strike call. No balls, one strike. Romano has better than average power. Charlie's delivery, curve, and it's a little high. One and one. One ball, one strike. One count on Romano. Jurley throws. Fastball swung on. It's a high fly to deep left. Yogi waiting for it back out there, and Yogi's got it. Sides retired in the ninth. No runs, no hits, no errors, no one left on. The end of 8.5 innings. It's 1-1. And in the last of the ninth, the Yankees will have Scarron, Berra, and Howard coming up. And I hope you got some Valentine beer coming up. An exciting ball game. Yogi getting a hand as he comes in. Let's have a quick look at the lighter side of sports. How about trying these on for size? A golfer playing in 100-degree heat hit a ball that traveled all of 75 yards before it suddenly exploded in midair and started a grass fire. Man, it was dry. And then there was a famous university that set a new high in the care of its athletes. It insured the thumb of each member of its Tiddlywinks team for $700. Got to hand it to them. Well, let's turn from the lighter side of sports to the lighter side of beer. And that means Ballantine, of course. Ballantine is the light beer with true lager flavor. Lightness and lager beer flavor, two good reasons why folks from Maine to Florida have made Ballantine the largest selling beer in the East. How about you? Refresh with a crisp refresher soon. Dick Stigman, the 6'3" left-hander who came in and put the fire out before it could do any damage after Howard homered in the eighth off Perry to tie the score. You know, there's a rough spot for him to be in. Base is loaded and 3-2 on the batter. He's ready to pitch to Scarron. Struck out, foul to the catcher, and lined to short. In comes the pitch. Swung on, grounded out to short, and it is grabbed by Held to throw in time. One away. Yogi Berra will be coming up. He flied to right center, popped to third, and grounded to second. In. Dick Stigman swings with the windup. Round comes the left arm. The pitch is high. Ball one. The 1-0 pitch on its way to Yogi. In there. Strike one. 1-1. Pitch to Berra. Swung on, say, fly ball into short center. Temple going out, and he's got it. Two away. And here's Elston Howard, who homered to keep the Yankees in the ball game in the eighth inning. He had hit to the box and flied to center, and led off in the eighth with a line drive homer to the left field stand. Two down, last of the ninth. One and one, the score. Rookie Dick Sigmund to the windup. Around comes the left arm, and the pitch is in there. Strike one, fastball. Next delivery. Swung on, lined out in the right center for a base hit. And Howard turns first, backhanded nicely by Keene. The throw into second. Howard's in there with a double. Now they are going to put Richardson on and pitch to Turley, I believe. Richardson, who flied to left, popped to short and lined to third. I believe will be put on first base. He'll be intentionally passed. It's ball one. And the second one. Bobby sort of seen if he could reach the ball. And the third one. Now the fourth one. Though Richardson is purposely passed. And Casey now has to decide whether he wants to leave Turley in there or not. He's been pitching well. With two outs. He may make a move. We'll see. Hector Lopez is going to hit for him. Hector Lopez will hit for Turley. Situation has forced Casey to send up a pinch hitter with two outs for Turley, who in relief of Short, after Short strained his elbow, worked four and one-third innings of hitless ball. Walked one, struck out one, and didn't allow any runs. And now Ken Hunt's going in to run for Howard. Howard getting a hand, he leaves. Hunt running for Howard. Two outs in the last of the ninth. Hunt on second. Richardson on first. One and one, the score. Dick Sigmund to the stretch. The pitch in there for strike. One strike, two down. The left-hander again to the stretch. Here's the pitch. Swung on, grounded down first, and the throw is in time to first base to the pitcher who covered, and the side's retired. Lopez grounded a big power deep at first. Stickman got over and took the throw to retire the side. No runs, one hit, no errors, and two left on. Yogi Berra will switch from left field to the plate, and Ryan Duren is coming in to pitch. For those of you who tuned in late in the first inning, Temple doubled, Keene walked, Pearsall wrapped into a double play, Temple going to third, scored on Held's double. And in the last of the first, Kubek opened with a double, and that's the last hit the Yankees got until the eighth inning when Howard homered. The Yankees then loaded the bases, Sigmund having relieved Perry. And Sigmund got the side out. With the Yankees having a chance with the bases loaded and a 3-2 count on Maris before he popped up to end the inning. And then, of course, the last of the ninth situation where the winning run was on second, two outs, and Stigman kept that from coming home. While Ryan Dieren loosens up, we'll pause for station identification.
You are tuned to 1460 on the radio dial. This is WOKO, Albany, New York. The time in 5 seconds, 10:45. Present temperature is 58 degrees.
Now in the 10th inning, Joe Gordon is making his move in the switch department. Bob Hale will bat for George Strickland, the left-hand batter. Hale hitting for Strickland. He's a guy with power. And then you're going to have a big rookie, Walt Bond, a 6'6" left-hand batter, coming up to hit for Carroll Hardy. Bob Hale, who's 2-for-6, is a power hitter, so is Walt Bond. Ryan Dieren coming on in the 10th. Bob Turley, who took over for short in the 5th with two outs, showed his best form of the year. But Casey had to take him out for the pinch hitter with the possibility of getting a hit to win the game the last of the night. It was not forthcoming, and so we're in the 10th, and here's Bob Hale up. Ryan Dieren to the windup. And the pitch. Swung on, hit foul. Down the left field line, out of play. Strike one. Dieren fixed the relief appearance. Last worked against Kansas City on Friday. Worked an inning and two-thirds and was credited with the victory. Nothing in one. Into the windup, the pitch to Hale. Swung on line out to left, and Hunt falls down, gets up, and makes the catch. Hunt slipped on the grass, went down, got up, and made the catch. One away. A liner to left. Now here is Walt Bond, the rookie you've heard so much about. Walter Bond, 6'6". He made the jump from Reading to this club with some sensational spring hitting. He's had 13 for 51, including three homers and 12 runs batted in. A menacing figure at the plate for that big bat, the heaviest in the league. He can whip it. Dieren to the windup and the pitch. Swung on and missed, strike one. Boy, he took a cut at a real good fastball. Woo. If he ever makes connection, he's going to really send that one soaring in orbit. No balls, one strike. Into the windup, around comes the right arm, the pitch. Look out, it hit Bond. It hit him somewhere on the hand. I don't know where it hit him. He gets up, and Wally Bach, the trainer, comes out to check him. I don't know where it hit him, but it hit him on the hand. Striding into an higher inside pitch is hit on the hand. Glad it didn't hit him. I thought he was hitting the face at first. Dick Stigman is due up. The Indian trainer is rubbing the hand of Walt Bond. They're waiting now to get the baseball cap for him. Boy, that had to hurt. Ryan was pitching him in tight. And he just, as he started to stride into the pitch, he couldn't get out of the way of the ball, tailed into him and hit him on the hand. Wally Bach is massaging the hand. He's going to stay in. Red Crest, the coach down there talking with him, and the trainer. The trainer departs, and we're ready to continue. In the 10th inning of a 1-1 ball game, Dick Stigman, batting right-handed. McDougal comes in the event of a bunt. Stigman's had 1-for-3 this season. Throw over to first, Bond's back. During the stretch, Bond with the leadoff first, another throw over, and he's back. Sometimes a pitcher will do that, see if a hitter will commit himself, see if he'll square around a bend bunting position. So far he hasn't. Here's the pitch, and it's inside for a ball. One ball, no strikes. Stigman looks at JoJo White for the sign. Stretch by Duren. McDougal creeping in. And the pitch. It's bunted foul to the right of the plate, out of play. Strike one, 1-1. Duren calls McDougal over. Stretch by Duren. Bond leads off first. The pitch to Stigman is bunted, and the play is to first base to Richardson. Advancing, Bond to second. Stigman sacrifices and is out. Duren to Richardson, who covered. And now coming up is Johnny Temple with Harvey Keene on deck. Talking to Duren for a moment, now comes back behind the plate. Temple scored the Indians' run in the first inning when he doubled and scored on Hell's double. Grounded to short, walked and grounded to short. Walt Bond on second base with two outs. 10th inning, 1-1. Checks, takes the stretch. Bond leads off second. The pitch to Johnny Temple. In there for a strike. Nothing and one.
guarding that plate. Bond with a good leadoff second. Duren delivers, and Temple swings and fouls it back up here. Strike two. Nothing in two. No balls, two strikes. Harvey Keene on deck. Duren taking a lot of time. Gets the sign from Barra. Into his stretch, Bond with a good long lead off second base. Here's the pitch, and it's swung on. Little looper out to right field. Here's the run coming on in to score. Ball gets away from Barron into second. Goes Temple, and the Indians lead 2-1. Johnny Temple slices a single to right to score Bond. And take second on the throw to the plate. So Temple scored the first run and has driven in the second one. Now here's Harvey Keene, who walked twice, safe on an error by Kubek at short and grounded to second. The hit batsman came around to score. Ready to pitch now to Harvey Keene. Swung on, bounced over the head of the pitcher, and Keene beats it out for a base hit as Temple goes to third. Harvey Keene chops a single over the head of Duren and brings up Jimmy Pearsall with runners on first and third. Pearsall grounded to short into a double play, grounded to short into a force play, flying to left and flying to center. Duren had had 10 hitless innings until Temple sliced a single to right. Runners on first and third, one run in the 10th. The pitch to Pearsall, bunted foul, out of play. Strike one. No balls, one strike. Temple leads off third, Keene off first. Duren into the stretch. And the pitch. Swung on. There's a drive to deep right field. That ball is going down. A home run for Jimmy Pearsall. Scoring, Temple and Keene ahead of him. And Jimmy is sprinting around the bases. And the Indians come up with a four-run tenth inning. And they lead 5-1. It's almost a replay of Sunday's game of the White Sox. Jimmy Pearsall hits a home run to the opposite field, his first of the year. A three-run homer. And now, here's Woody Held. Right-hand batter. And the pitch. High and inside. Ball one. A two-out rally by the Indians, and they lead 5-1. Duren into the windup, and the pitch. It's inside for ball two. 2-0. It's almost an exact duplicate of Sunday's game. It went to the 10th inning, and the White Sox scored 5 runs in the 10th. A 2-0 count now on Woody Held, who's had 1-for-4. Duren's pitch swung on and missed. Strike one. Held, double to right, grounded to first and short, and fouled out to the catcher. Landis hit a three-run homer in the 10th inning to the opposite field to climax a 5-run 10th inning for the White Sox on
Sunday. Now the pitch. Outside, ball three, 3-1. A 3-1 count. And the 3-1 pitch. Inside for ball four. Held walks. And the batter now is Vic Power. Four runs in for Cleveland in the 10th inning. Outfield straight away for Power. Duren's delivery swung on, lined over second to right field for a base hit. Maris up with it, throws quickly in, and Held stops at second. And the Indians keep a rolling. With two outs and a runner on base on second, they have had three hits, a walk, and a hit. And now the ninth man to come up in the inning, Johnny Romano, who lined to first, grounded to third, struck out, and flied to left. Indians.
WOKO, Albany, New York, 1460 on the radio dial.
Held on second, Power on first. Takes his stretch and the pitch. Strike call over the outside corner. Two on, two out, four in. Held off second, Power off first. The pitch swung on, fouled off, out of play to the right of the plate. Into the upper deck. Two strikes. With a new ball to work with, taking his time. Held up, moving off second. Power, the big lead off first. And the delivery. Swung on and fouled back up onto the netting. Count remains two strikes on Johnny Romano. Again to the stretch. Runners lead away from first and second. And the pitch. Swung on and fouled back to the screen. Count holds it. Two strikes. Five to one. Favor of Cleveland. 10th inning. Guarding that plate. Held leads away from second. Vic Power with a big lead off first. Scouring back deep. Duren into that slow stretch. And the pitch. Swung on and missed strike three. And the sides retired. Four runs for Cleveland. Four hits. No Yankee errors. And two left on for the Indians. And at the end of 9.5 innings, it's Cleveland 5, New York 1. In the last half of the 10th, the Yankees will have Kubek, McDougald, and Mantle coming up. Dick Stigman, a 6'3" left-hander who relieved Jim Perry in the 7th inning with runners on first and third and one out. After Howard had homered to tie the score, struck out McDougal, walked Mantle to load the bases, went to a 3-2 count with Maris and got him to top out to Vic Power. Here's Kubek. He's had 2 for 4. The pitch, look out, inside for a ball. And then the ninth inning with 2 outs and the winning run in scoring position, he retired pinch hitter Hector Lopez. Stigman's delivery. Kubek takes a strike. 1-1. Bubba Phillips has gone in at third base, and Walt Bond is in center field. A 1-1 count. In comes the pitch. Swung on, a fly ball hit into center. Bond is waiting for it and makes the catch. One down. Gil McDougal steps in, flied to left and right, took a third strike, and swung at a third strike. Cleveland, 10th inning. In comes the pitch, outside, ball one. Now the pitch, swung on, there's a fly ball into right field. Keene moves over toward the line and makes the catch for the second out. Two down, and here's Mantle, who walked, flied to center, flied to left, and walked. The White Sox-Red Sox game has been resumed, and it is 5-5 in the last of the eight. Kansas City beat Baltimore 10-0. Tigers snapped their 10-game losing streak, beating Washington 1-0. Two down now in the 10th. Stigman of the windup, the pitch to Mantle. Outside, ball one. Left-hander delivers, and Mantle swings and bounces it deep to short. Held with that good arm, throws and gets him. And the side is retired, and the Indians win it in 10 innings, 5-1. And Mantle's 13-game hitting streak is at an end. No runs, no hits, no errors, no one left on. The totals, the Indians, 5 runs, 9 hits, no errors, and 7 men left on base. The Yankees, 1 run, 5 hits, 1 error, and 8 men left on base. The winning pitcher is Dick Stigman, who came on in the 8th inning with 1 out and pitched 2 2/3 innings to get the victory. Jim Perry had pitched brilliant ball, 1-hit ball for 7 innings, and then Howard homered in the 8th to tie it. Billy Short worked 4 2/3 innings, allowed 5 hits and 1 run. And Turley, who relieved him after Short, hurt his elbow. Pitched 4 1/3 innings of hitless ball. Duren, who came on in the 10th, gave up 4 hits and 4 runs and is charged with his first loss of the year. He has a record of 1-1. Stickman has 1-2 and lost 1. So the Yankees lose their second straight extra inning game, and both cut out of the same pattern, with the White Sox on Sunday getting 5 in the 10th to win that one, and the Indians 4 in the 10th tonight to win this one. Tomorrow, it'll be Duke Moss against Gary Bell. I hope you'll join us in some crisp, refresher Ballantine beer, the light beer with true lager flavor.